Praise God. Thank you, sir. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Mark chapter 4 and verse 40. I want us to get right now. And what do I mean by that? Well, Jesus in Mark chapter 4 did mighty works. Jesus in Mark chapter 5 did mighty works. And in Mark chapter 6, the Bible said he could there do no mighty work except lay his hands upon a few sick folk. Well, and then you read more of the story and it says that Jesus marveled at the unbelief of the people. And then if you look back, you see that the people, when Jesus was there and the word was going forth, what was their attitude? Oh, we've heard this before. Oh, we've known him. We've seen him. He's the carpenter. We know his family. And they, what did they do? They absolutely had no expectation or hunger for what was about to be imparted to them. And they walked away different than the Mark 4 people and the Mark 5 people. And so right now we're getting ready to impart some things. And how you leave here in this service and how you walk out of here this morning and what you get and if your life's changed or not and if you're set on a new course is entirely up to what you do right this second. And the attitude changes and the hunger and the expectation level that you have. Amen? Amen. So as I go and pray for this service, get it right now. You've been grumpy pants. You've been apathetic. You've been casual. You say, nope, right now. Right now, today, I'm going to receive what God has for me. Today's a new day for me. God's not holding you accountable to all that stuff. It's a brand new day. His mercies are new. You say, right here, right now, it's a change. Amen? Father, help us this morning. We want to hear from you. We want your power. We want to taste and see that you are good. And so, Father, I thank you that you will impart life unto people this morning. I thank you bullseyes will be hit in each person's heart. Father, speaking directly to them, giving them answers, giving them hope, giving them instruction, correction if need be, pertaining specifically to their life, their circumstances, the season that they're in. And Father, it'll be supernatural. For I don't know what to say to a group of people that can strike a chord in each person's heart, but you do. So Father, I come as a willing vessel this morning, a willing messenger. Speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. I thank you that when I open my mouth, you'll fill it with words from heaven. Father, may your words be spoken. May your deeds be done. Father, be God here tonight. We praise you and magnify your holy, holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, well, we've been talking since a little before the new year about fear and some things with faith, and we'll probably do that all throughout eternity, you know, until Jesus comes back or we go to heaven, but we've been emphasizing that, and so this week we're going to kind of finish up and wrap up some things because my spirit's telling me we're going to start and go in a different direction and pivot a little bit next week, but in Mark chapter 4, in verse 40, Jesus said unto them, why are you afraid or fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And we've been talking about the dangers of fear and recognizing fear, how to respond to fear. But really the opposite of fear is faith, right? We see here that they are two things that do not mix. They are like oil and water, right? They don't mix. You can't be in one and also be in the other. You can't be in fear and also be in faith. And so the danger of allowing fear into our lives is what? It pushes out faith. And we know here that we can't afford to be out of faith. And I want to stress that this morning. There are assaults and there are attacks within the body of Christ, with even in our own church, attacks on bodies, attacks on families, attacks on finances, attacks on minds. And if you don't take this stuff seriously, there will not be a turnaround for you. There will not be a change for you. And so I am harping on this stuff to what? Brand it in you, to get it in you. Hallelujah. And we talked about Wednesday night, and I'm kind of going to build on that and emphasize some other things, that there's a push right now and opposition and pressure from the enemy that's wanting people to back off the faith message and to figuratively throw in the faith towel. Well, what does that mean when you throw in the faith towel? You're throwing in the towel. The trainer throws in the towel in the fight, declaring what? My fighter is done. We quit. We give up. And we saw on Wednesday night, we can't give up faith. And go with me to Mark 5 and verse 24. Mark 5 and verse 24. I want to read. We'll start in verse 25. I want to read a story here, one of my favorites in the whole Bible. I love this story of this woman. I cannot wait to meet her someday. It's going to be one of the first people I want to meet in heaven, is this woman with the issue of blood. It says a certain woman, and I want you to, you know, at times we can detach ourselves from the reality of this story. You know, just like I give you testimonies, they're testimonies of things that really happened. Amen? They're not lies. The Bible and the Gospels, it's words of testimonies. It's words of encounters. It's words of experiences being documented. So this is a real thing, a real story. And I want you to look deeply and closely at this woman's life and her condition. And I will point it out to you and magnify it to you after we read it. But it says, there was a certain woman which had an issue of blood, or you could say a sickness of blood. She was losing blood for 12 years. She suffered many things of many physicians, spent all the money that she had, was not better, but grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind, touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway or immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue, and that word virtue in the Greek is the word power, had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you or touching you, and you're asking who touched you? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now, I want to point out this woman's situation, how dire it was, how bad it was, how extreme it was, because we see at the end of the story, she was made whole. She was blessed. Well, God didn't put that in there as a dangling carrot for all of us going through things. He put it in there for our training, for our learning, because God is no respecter of persons. If we will act and do as the woman with the issue of blood, we will receive and enjoy and experience what she got to enjoy, which is wholeness, amen? But I want you to see how dire it was, because, and then parallel it to your own situation. Because one of the major lies of the enemy is that your problem is so bad, it's even so bad, it's bigger than what God can handle. It's bigger than a miracle. It's bigger than a fix. I know. I've been there. I know the lies of the enemy. I know what the devil tries to tell people. But truth always trumps a lie, right? Truth comes in and reveals the lie and puts the lie in its place. And look what it says in verse 25. She had an issue of blood for 12 years. I had it's Jen Husen from the Allegheny Church. She's a nurse practitioner, pretty much just so knowledgeable and been at it so long and so high up and skilled. just pretty much like a doctor, you know, and some of the training and things and stuff that she's had. And she was talking about this and what this condition would be and the blood loss and how that would get worse and what that would do to a person over time. For 12 years, this woman's losing blood, and she would experience great weakness in this condition. She would experience great weakness, and she would be tired all the time. Not only that, but you couple that with the times that she was in, she was not allowed to go out in public and just mingle with everybody with a blood condition. Because if she were to touch or rub up against somebody because of the time and the culture and the laws of the land and things, they would have to go into a procedure of cleansing because they rubbed up against somebody that was technically declared unclean. So not only is she weak, suffering, tired for 12 years, anytime she goes in public, and anybody knows her situation, she's got to declare, I'm unclean, I'm unclean. She's an outcast in society. Amen. She's already got things in her life that completely already trump anything you're going through. It's true. It's the truth. She's got some of us beat in time. She's got some of us beat in social condition and the shame that would be. Why am I trying to point it out to you? Because the devil will tell you yours is the worst. Now, look at this. It says in verse 26, this is a downer. She suffered many things of the ones that are supposed to be the help. I remember when I was going through my incurable condition for 2 years, I can't say that I suffered from physicians. They just didn't have an answer for me. And that alone, when you're looking at people that have the education, the degrees, and know the human body and know medicine, when they tell you, I'm sorry, I don't know what to do for you, that's a heavy blow for a person that's going through things, right? I can't imagine taking a step further for 12 years where not only do they not have an answer, they're using and abusing me. The Bible's clear. She suffered many things from the doctors back in that time. What are they doing? Taking advantage of her, right? Handling her the wrong way. And then look what it says. It goes on to say, and spent all that she had searching and seeking for this answer. I'm guessing she's not able to make an income. When you're unclean, how are you going to go to work? Who's going to want to hire you? She spent all the money that she had trying to get this. So now she's completely broke and has no way of making more money. She's in a bad spot, in a bad way, right? In a bad spot, in a bad way. And then the Bible says in verse 26 that it didn't just stay in a certain condition. It got worse and worse. This woman is in a bad, bad place, but we see at the end, everything gets restored unto her. Wholeness comes. Well, go to verse 34. Now, I'll read verse 34 in a second. Verse 34 tells us her answer of how somebody in a extreme, dire, physical, emotional, mental, every realm, she had it covered. Emotionally, she's at the bottom. Mentally, she's at the bottom. Socially, she's at the bottom. Physically, she's at the bottom. And financially, she's at the bottom. Do you see it?
Yes.
Well, we see the answer in verse 34, but what you won't find in verse 34, and this is why I got to try to wake people up, because the answer that she got is the same answer for you, and it's not going to change. She didn't receive her wholeness because she was in need. That's not why she got it. Jesus said, daughter, because you were in need, you were made whole. That's not what he says up there. She didn't get it because she was wronged. Welcome to life. Welcome to life and people being motivated by the wrong things. There's wrongness all the time. Jesus didn't say, daughter, because you've been wronged, now wholeness comes to you. No. Notice he didn't say, daughter, you've waited so long because of your patience, because of the years you struggled. You're whole now. Nope, didn't say that either. Come on. Didn't say, daughter, because you're a good person, you get your healing. Daughter, because you're moral, you get your healing. Daughter, because you're a Christian. Nope. All these things don't make you whole. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. What's he saying to her? The only thing that changed your situation was not time, was not how kind you were, was not that you deserved it, was not that you needed it, was not that you were wronged and did wrong by people. The only thing that turned your situation around was your faith. So guess what? The next thing Pastor Mike's going to say to all of you. You have an opportunity. First of all, you don't even realize how rich you have it in the level of the word that you're accustomed to. Why? I grew up in places they didn't teach the answer to unwholeness. The answer to unwholeness is found right in verse 34. Faith makes you whole. She grew up in places that had no answer for unwholeness, and so people stayed unwhole. Unwhole financially, unwhole. So many of you have told me, never knew any of this. I loved it last night. Julie preached for me in Allegheny, and she mentioned her testimony. She's over in Children's Church this morning. And when she came to the church, she was someone that loved the Lord, so sincere and just loved him. And she talks about how when she came to the church, she had an incurable asthma condition that was debilitating. Ambulances, can't work, can't, you know, get out of bed, incurable. And she stayed unwhole, but because she spent so many years in a place that never told her her answer. Good person, sweet person, willing to serve, willing to be faithful, willing to love God, wronged in some things, didn't matter. She came in, and the first series I was preaching on was healing. She heard it. She got faith for healing. Faith made her whole. Amen. So many of you have testimonies of the same thing. Wholeness comes from faith. And there's no excuse for being in Pastor Mike Anderson's church and being ignorant about faith. Because God told me years ago that I'm going to major in faith, was the first thing he said, in teaching faith. And so that's what I do. You know, I have an acquaintance that they sell tractors for a living, and that's their main source of income, that's their expertise, but they also sell some of the implements, and they also sell side-by-sides, and they also sell different lawnmowers, but their specialty, and your pastor's specialty, I'm a faith salesman. That's what I am. I'm a faith salesman. We'll get into other things and talk about other things and delve into other things, and we do that, but we're going to major in faith around here. Well, that's pretty good, I guess, because it's the one thing that makes us whole. I wish you'd teach more on Revelation. That will make you whole. Now, I will if the Holy Ghost tells me. Don't misunderstand me. Why does he talk more about the Ten Commandments? That will make you whole. Faith will make you whole. I'm interested in your wholeness, and so is God. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not belittling those other things. You follow what the Holy Spirit tells you to preach on. Amen? Amen. And so we have a decision, okay? The one thing that can change anything that we're facing is faith. It's the one thing. It's the one thing that can change it is our faith. So we have a decision this morning. Are we going to be people that abandon it? Walk away from it, turn away from it, get wrong thinking, and think we're going to get our answer some other way? Or are we going to actually dive in and say, you know what? It's time for me to stop being a big doubt and an unbelieving baby. It's time for me to plant the flag in the ground and grow the heck up, pull up our big boy pants, take off our pull-ups and put on big boy and big girl undies, pull our pants up, and actually say, you know what? The devil's messed with me long enough, and God died for me and gave me a force that will make anything in my life that's unwhole, whole. Yes. It's up to you. Yeah. It's up to you. Praise God. If she doesn't act this way, she stays the rest of her life, and we go on to 13 years and 14 years until she dies. We have a decision. Go with me to Ephesians 6 and verse 16. We can't throw in the towel of faith. We can't abandon this. We cling to this. We need to give ourselves a pep talk. Stop waddling around in self-defeat and self-pity and woe is me. Thank God for her. She didn't stay in woe is me. Well, I'm not allowed to go out in public. Well, I'm so tired. I'm so weak. And look at the crowd and all the people. Blah, blah, blah. Someone needs to hit you upside the head sometimes. I remember my dad, Paul Anderson. My dad did things that would wake me up. I don't even know if I should tell this story, but since he's gone in heaven, he can't get in trouble, so I will. Now, this is going to maybe make you laugh, maybe make you mortified. But he did things to wake me up. I was a little boy. This is a true story. Walking in the woods with him at dark, going to our tree stand. Walking, and he's got in front of me, and he always teaches me to be quiet. And I step and cracked a stick really loud, and I thought, as soon as I did it, oh, I don't even want to see the look on his face right now. I know he's not happy that I just did that. And so Dad needed to teach his son a lesson that you don't walk through the woods anyway. You got to be quiet. You scare the deer away. Well, you want to know how my dad taught me the lesson? I turned around and his 16-gauge shotgun was pointed at his son. Now, you have to understand Paul Anderson here. And he said to me, do that again and see what happens. Yes, sir. Got it. Whether or not there was a bullet in the chamber, I don't know. Who cares? You're not supposed to point guns at anyone, let alone your child. But what did he do? Woke me up. So why am I saying this to you? It's time to grow up. It's time to stop waddling around. Because you need a wake-up call. You need a wake-up call. And at the root of what my dad was saying was, and he handled it wrong, was you're going to have more fun if we see deer. We're going to have more of an enjoyable hunt if we see deer. And if you keep stepping on sticks like that, we're not going to see it. So I'll get the point across. That's what he did. Crazy. It's crazy. And so Ephesians 6 and verse 16 says this to us. We got to remember this. Above all, take the shield of faith. Now look what that shield of faith does and think then about what the enemy might do. Wherewith that shield of faith you can quench or stop all the fiery darts of the wicked one. What is the thing the devil cannot get through? It's faith. It says it stops them. It quenches them. It puts them out. So guess what the devil is going to try to get you to do? Lay down the faith message. To back off of the faith message. Now, I mentioned some of these things on Wednesday night. They were worth repeating. I have seen people in dire situations walk away from the faith message because of the opposition and the pressure that the devil has given their mind, and they actually walk away and have said things out of their mouth, right to me face to face, faith doesn't work. But Jesus said, faith makes you whole. So which is it? You can't judge God by what circumstances tell you, what feelings and thoughts tell you. You judge God by the word, and the word says faith will make you whole. But the devil has given them thoughts and the pressure that faith doesn't work and getting them offended at the faith preachers. I had somebody, this is a true story, that was with me for over 2 years, went through a test and trial. They called me and absolutely, with their words, took me to the woodshed. So I just want you to know that word of faith message you preach, it's not true. And they went on and said, and they threw Brother Hagin under the bus, Pastor Mike under the bus, Dr. Dufresne under the bus, Pastor Nancy Dufresne under the bus, Pastor Scott Webb, Reverend Greer, all the ones that were around. The Durants threw them all under the bus. And I said, oh, really? You mean that faith message that you testified in front of a church, that when you learned the faith message? I had gotten a revelation one time in a Wednesday night service over there. I had saw dollar signs covering certain people. And I called a couple up and I said, and it made me laugh because I'd never seen it before and I knew what it meant. I knew by the unction of the Holy Spirit and by the word of knowledge what it meant, abundance, abundance, increase, covering them. And I'm laughing and they're kind of wondering why I'm laughing at them. You know who likes to be laughed at? I said, oh, it's just what I saw in the spirit. I said, you're going to love this. I said, I see dollar signs over you, a great abundance coming. The woman started bent over laughing so hard, and I'm like, why are you laughing at me now? What's so funny? This is what she said. Pastor, out loud, ever since we obeyed God to come to this church 2 years ago and started learning the word of faith and how to do this, we can't even keep up with all the blessings that are coming in. That's what they said. And then said, and so when you say there's prosperity, more abundance coming, it's hilarious to me because it's already covering us. And it came to pass. And a short time later, I get a phone call from the same person. I don't believe anything. And I said, what? Well, what happened? Tests and trials come. Different things come. Try to get people to abandon the faith message. I've seen people walk away when their manifestation didn't turn in the time that they thought it should. Believe in God for a child, believe in God for a turn on their finances, believe in God in their body, and it didn't happen in their time, so then apparently faith doesn't work. But think of the lie. Jesus already said, it will make you whole. It will work. So think about the deceit and deception level that people get where they actually are believing and confessing that what Jesus said is false. Come on. And then you have to understand that when you're contending and pressing, the devil's turning up the heat. And so he turns up the heat. Why? Because if I walk away from that, oh, it's called pressure relief. Many people seek pressure relief and don't seek the answer because the answer comes with pressure. You got to be able to withstand the heat. And so many people don't want the pressure. And so they back off and that pressure subsides from the faith message and they think, oh, this is much better. And the devil's like, they just put their faith shield down. I just am stupid enough to believe the Bible. What are we doing today at the, wrapping this thing up? We are deciding enough is enough in every area of our lives. Enough is enough. Can't do this anymore. I've seen people turn on it. John chapter 6 and verse 66. What was the only thing that worked for that woman in 12 years? One thing and one thing only, faith. That was it. You could say it this way. It was her only help. It was her only option out of that, faith. See why we can't leave it behind? I mentioned this, you know, the pressure even within the churches of people just to start getting into grumbling and complaining and the woe is me and the self just against yourself and, you know, the whine and the moan and the groan, all the things that don't bring about the answer, and there's that temptation there and just to leave faith down. But you have to know something. It says here in John 6 and verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So many people left Jesus, or you could say, because he's the way. I am the way, he said. So they left the way. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and said to them, are you also leaving too? Now, in all of the goofiness that we see with Peter, and some of the funny things that, you know, I can relate to, and, you know, maybe not hitting the mark all the time, in verse 68, Peter hit the mark. Then answered Peter unto him and said, Lord, because Jesus said, are you going to go? Basically saying, if we leave, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Well, I'm going to ask you this. If faith is the only thing that can fix some of the things we're going through. If you lay faith down, where are you going to go then for your answer? There's nowhere else to turn. That's what Peter's saying. Jesus, we have nothing else that you can do. There's nothing that anything in the world can give you that faith that can beat faith. And so if you decide to not enter into faith, you decide to not walk or abandon faith, you've decided you're okay with staying how things are. Because don't expect the sickness to change. Don't expect the money to change. Don't expect the things with your children to change. Faith is the way out of the cards that life dealt you. You know, sometimes you play a certain card game and you get cards. You know, this is the a yucky hand. But then all of a sudden you get a trump card. And it trumps no matter what you have, no matter what they have. It trumps everything. That's what faith is. It's life's trump card. What's it do? It trumps life. It trumps what life gives you. This woman had no help except faith. Some of us now and some of us going forward will have no help but faith. And we can't abandon it. We can't lay it down. You know, I don't need help mowing my lawn from God. Now, don't misunderstand me. He keeps the air on. It's his air I'm breathing, you know, and I believe he's blessing my body to be healthy. Don't misunderstand me. Without him, I'm nothing. But the act of mowing my lawn, I don't need his help. You know, when I do dishes, I don't need to cry out to him and use my faith in his help. I don't. There's many things in life I don't need his help. But then there's things in life that only he can help us with. Amen? And faith is the only way. Go back to Mark 5 and verse 27. What is this? This is a wake-up call. This is Pastor Mike pointing the shotgun at you. Saying, let's go. Let's go. Mark 5 and verse 27. You need to understand this. This is so vital. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway or immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him. Now think about this. She touches him, and Jesus feels something go out of him. Bible calls it virtue. The newer translation, you look that word up, it means power. Jesus felt the power go out of him. Well, remember, immediately she was dried up. So as soon as she touched, the power went out and the problems, the power made her whole. The power had gone out of him. He turned about and said, who touched my clothes? Now you need to get this or it won't mean much to you. Jesus wanted to know who touched him, and his disciples asked a very logical question. His disciples said, you see, the multitude, thousands of people would follow him and would hear stories of him. And, I mean, have you ever seen old clips of when, like, Michael Jackson would travel and be in public and people would be weeping and just trying to go through the police just to touch a singer? Can you imagine what sick people would do when they got word of a man that if you come in contact with him, all your sickness, all your disease, all your torment, all your pain is taken away? It would have been Michael Jackson on steroids. And the disciples said, you see everybody thronging you. Why? Every one of them needed something. And they're all doing the same thing that she's doing, just trying to touch him. But Jesus said, after they said that, who touched me? And they say, you ask who touched me? And Jesus ignored him. He said, they don't get it. And he looked round about to see her doing this thing. He knew that one of the touches was different because one of the touches actually withdrew or made a withdrawal out of what he had. You see that? Well, what did he go on to tell her was the reason, verse 34, that she got it? Daughter, Your faith made you whole. Well, when did she get whole? She got whole when she touched him and the power went out. How did she get the power and everybody else? Jesus didn't even stop. Nothing went out of him for anybody else. All those people are talking, they're just touching him and going away empty-handed. How did she get something to come out of him? One thing, one thing only, faith. Amen. It's the only thing, faith. You have to understand, when you enter into faith, it's you being skillful to make a withdrawal. Now, you know my brain is different. So I say that starting off with this story. And I'm trusting that because we don't live in New York City or San Francisco or Los Angeles, that the story I'm about to tell is going to be okay. And I know you're like, ooh, come on now, juicy. But we live in South Dayton, New York, and the majority of us are either connected to or are hunters. And if we're not, and this offends you, I would like to tell you I'm sorry, but truthfully, I'm not. So I'll give you this example. Because faith is making a skillful withdrawal. When you harvest a deer, one of the things that keeps people from hunting is they don't want to field dress the deer. Again, what's that mean? Getting in and pulling out all the goodies, you know, and getting that out for so it's lighter and it doesn't spoil and things, right? I know, where's this going? Well, one of the things that is the biggest pain in the literal butt is removing the butt of a deer. And when I learned to first field dress a deer, it's one of the most tedious and just annoying things until a little orange tool came along called the butt out. It's like this long. It's got a circle to where you stop. You can imagine where it's going. It's got little hooks on the end, and you get that thing in there, and you twist, and all you do is pull, and it all comes out. And so now the next animal that comes say, wow, look how skillful they were. I usually have to eat this thing in a million pieces. This is great. The butt out made it skillful to withdraw what was needed to be withdrawn. Faith is your butt out. What does faith do? It enables you to be skillful in a withdrawal that you need. You know why so many people, I'll be honest, I never did get how to do it until I got the butt out. And so you're sitting there making a mess and it's taking up time. That's what people are doing with their lives. They're making a mess of things because they're not skillful. They don't have the right tool. Well, now in my hunting pack, I carry that tool every time I go. It's made things so much easier. But Christians all the time, they're facing a major situation. They're making a bigger mess of it. Things are staying the same. It's hard and it's just tough and things are difficult. Why? You're not using the right tool to make the right withdrawal. Amen? Hallelujah. Faith was the only thing that withdrew the power, and all those people were touching her. And Jesus is no respecter. If someone else would have got the power, he would have stopped and said, who did that? Yeah. You know what's amazing? You know why he stopped? And this is so sad. And this is just, I'm going to tell you it's the truth. Because he was so shocked. Right. Yeah. He's going along. Everybody's touching him. He's used to this. And all of a sudden, whoa, finally, something was different. I got to see who did this. How about when he would minister to someone and say, your faith made you whole, or your faith did this. I've not seen such great faith even in Israel. He said, I can't find this anywhere. A lot of unskillful Christians. What do they do? Well, I've been a Christian my whole life. Why aren't I healed? I've been a good person. I tithe. Tithing doesn't make you whole. I've been faithful. I serve. I'm kind. I watch the right things. I say the right things. I'm good to my family. So what? Those are all great, but they don't make you whole. Faith makes you whole. You have to be skillful. Praise God. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace are you saved. Without the grace, we can't get the blessing. He's got the salvation. He's got the healing. He's got the provision. He's got the favor. He's got the power for the turnaround. For by grace are you saved. But then look at this. Through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. It was the grace of God on that day with the woman with the issue of blood that God was there in their town and the power was in the midst of them. But how did she get healed? Through her faith. It's the skillful way. We're almost done. Go to 2 Chronicles 16. I just have a few more verses. 2 Chronicles 16. What am I trying to do? Brand this in you? That temptation to be lazy with your faith, that temptation to wallow. Yeah. You know what elk like to do? They go to these mud holes that are called wallows. And they get right into that wallowing. And they'll lay in that mud. They'll pee on themselves in that mud so the ladies smell them. They'll get all stinky and dirty and all muddy when they wallow. That's what a Christian does. When you get into wallowing, all it is muddy and dirty and stinkiness. Wallowing and woe is me and this is so hard and why me? Everybody's against me. All it leaves you is muddy, dirty, and stinky. It's the truth. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. Look at this now. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. He's just waiting to do what? To show himself strong. What's that? His power. On the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein you, he's talking about a specific person here, you have done foolishly, therefore from henceforth, from now on, you'll have wars. So the Bible's telling something about God. He's always looking to what? Demonstrate my power. Why do you think Jesus was walking down those streets that day? He wanted to demonstrate his power. But nobody was skillful enough except for one woman to make a withdrawal. So God says, I want to show myself strong. But then it goes on to say, whose heart is perfect towards him. Well, when you have a faith heart, it's a perfect heart. It pleases God. Because in the context of this situation, this came down to doubt and unbelief. This is a story where it says you're going to have wars now, is about a king. And because of time's sake, we'll just summarize it for you. It's about a king who at one time had gotten into some trouble with some other kingdoms that were pressing against his kingdom. He had no natural way out of it, no natural help like the woman with the issue of blood, but he trusted or had faith in God, and God's power manifested and delivered him. Well, time had gone by and the devil turned up the heat, and now he's in another situation where he's got a mighty kingdom that has come against him. And now what he does is he compromises. Instead of trusting God, he goes and makes a deal with someone else that he shouldn't be making a deal with, because in the long run, in the future, it's going to be a headache for him instead of doing it God's way. See, the Bible says the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and add no sorrow. When you try to do things your own way and not God's way, they that labor in vain, right? That don't do it God's way. Right? What does it say over there? I'm going to just take a quick peek over here. You don't need to turn there. Psalms 127 and verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord will make you rich and add no sorrow. Well, he didn't do it God's way now. He went and made an agreement with this other place that he shouldn't have, that's going to be trouble for him in the future. And in that agreement, he said, there's now an agreement. I can never attack you. I can never. And what that guy had, God was trying to tell him, that's all going to be yours. But now they made an agreement. He said, I can't touch you. I can't go over there. But I need your help dealing with this problem. Never even looked to God. And so God says to him now, I'm looking to help somebody, but I need someone that's going to believe me. And so now he said, because you didn't believe me and you entered into this, the kingdom now you're going to have, instead of peace and you being the ruler, and you're going to have wars now because you've been foolish. You know, in your situation, you're convinced God's left me. God has left me. No, God's waiting for you to actually be a person that's the real deal. That doesn't matter what it looks like. I mean, isn't it amazing that God just had Pastor Mike Anderson preach on the enemies of faith? And what you see and what you feel and what you hear and what you think and what the calendar says. All these things we saw do not matter. It only matters what God has said, but yet still people are living, talking, breathing, and acting by what they see, feel, the calendar, what they think, what they're hearing. And their mouth reflects it, the way they talk, their attitudes reflect it. Throwing in the faith towel. I surrender. Thank God that woman did surrender. And God's saying, from my perspective, I'm wanting to help you. But the only thing that's a skillful withdrawal of the power that I have to change every situation you have is when you get into faith. It's not optional. Go to Job 22 and verse 21. And Lynn, if you'd pull that up in the Amplified, Job 22 and verse 21. I'm going to read another verse while we're turning there that you don't have to turn to, but you can mark it down. But Job 22, 21. Listen to what it says in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Well, today's a day that I have set before you, life and death. Well, you could say the same thing. Pastor Mike calls the record this day, was it February 6th, 2022, this day, I have set before you life and death, choices. And then it goes on to say in verse 19 of that, Deuteronomy 30, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life or make the right choice, that both you and your seed may live. The obvious choice is to get out of the wallow, get out of the stink, get out of the mud, get out of the confusion, get out of the dirt of life, and come into a higher place and say, enough is enough. Faith is my answer, and I'm holding to it because it's the only thing that can help me. Well, what does that mean generally? Because if I could break faith down into one simple thing, with all the principles and things we've learned about it, one simple thing. Acquaint now yourself with him. And here it comes in parentheses. Agree with God and show yourself to be conformed to his will. And look what the result is. And be at peace by that, by what? Agreeing with God, conforming to his will. You shall prosper and great good shall come to you. Well, that's what faith leads to. Well, what is faith? All faith is, summing up, is simply agreement with God. Your body says you're sick. The calendar says it's been this long. Your mind tells you this. You feel this way. You think a certain way. You're hearing things. But Isaiah 53 and verse 4 and 5 says you are healed. What are you going to agree with? Well, when I agree with God, I certainly can't no longer say, woe is me, never works for me, I'll never be free of this, this is so awful. Nope, agreeing with God would be like, I am the healed of the Lord. And because I'm the healed of the Lord, healing must show up in my body. Well, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, you're rich. Well, your checkbook might not say that. The calculator might not say that. Your paycheck might not say that, but that's what God says. So you have a choice. Am I going to agree with God or am I going to agree with the calendar? Am I going to agree with the calculator? When you agree with God, that's called faith. What does that look like? Father, I'm rich. I'm your child. Do you know what a slap in the face it is to him when you look at yourself as poor? Now think about that. He's saying, do you not know what family you're in? Have you forgot that the earth is your daddy's and the fullness thereof? Have you forgot that the gold and the cattle on 1,000 hills is your daddy's? Have you forgot that I'll meet all your needs? You have an unlimited supply of whatever you need. And that we align ourselves with poverty, or recognize ourselves or put ourselves in that place, or identify as poverty. That'll be one of the new gender things they put on there. Poverty. I identify as poverty. What I want to know, and this is half me getting on a soapbox, is if anybody can just say whatever they want, what is the end of that? If I just choose to say that I am Bigfoot, isn't it discriminatory for you to then tell me I'm not? Because I said I am. Because I think I am. Because I feel I am. Okay, hopping off. I'm serious. Why would we identify with poverty when we're children of a king? So faith agrees with God and says, Father, I thank you. I'm rich. I'm in your family. And because I'm rich, money comes to me. I'm getting out of this situation. Come on now. Well, last but not least, Hebrews 4. You know, when I talk about that soapbox stuff, just so you know, that's not a person's opinion. That's God's thoughts. God was not confused when he made man and woman. Now, why am I saying that? Because this isn't about an agenda. And it's about preaching truth. But God was not confused. Now, I have sympathy for people and things, and I'm not against human beings. I'm not. But this idea and the things in our culture, you know, the Bible talks about in the end days, things that were once considered evil are considered okay. And I'll tell you what, I talked to someone on the phone this week, and they're a little older than me, and I said, can you tell from when you were younger how much things have changed? Because I can. I'm only 43 years old, and I could tell 20 years ago things weren't like this. And that's not just, well, you're in it and you think different. No, things were not like this 20 years ago. And imagine go 20 years before that and before that. Why? We're getting closer to the end. Evil's being called good. Deception has come in. Praise God. Hebrews 4 and verse 1. Let us therefore fear. What's it saying? There ought to be a fear of what? Lest a promise. What's a promise? A promise from God. When he promises it, it means you can have it. Being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. What's he saying? God has promises. Those promises are blessing. They equal rest, right? When you're in poverty, you're not resting. When you have abundance, oh, it's so much more restful. When you're sick, you're not resting. When you're healed, whew, so much more rest. And so on and so forth. He says, we ought to fear that we would come short of receiving God's promises. Well, how? Verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as it was unto them. So now it's talking about the people of old. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. What's he saying? There's promises, they're available, they equal rest for you. But just like the children of Israel and the people of old, they came short of that promise. Why? They heard the word, but they didn't mix faith with it. And he says, because you didn't mix faith with it, you're not going to get it. Verse 3, for we which have believed or are in faith, look who gets it, the woman with the issue of blood, she's in this category. For we which have believed enter into rest, the blessing or the promises, as he has said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Think of how sad and depressing that is. You know what's so heartbreaking about this Super Bowl? Honestly, I'm not trying to be funny or beat on the Bills. It all worked in this should have been the Bills Super Bowl. I'm sorry, Western New York. This should have been the way it worked to get the AFC Championship game at home. I was talking to Pastor Tim was talking to some people in Cincinnati and some business deals, and they said the general consensus is they wanted Kansas City and not Buffalo because Buffalo was hot. It was ours. And why is it such so hurtful? Because what should have been ours is not ours anymore. And it hurts. Every time I think about it, I throw up in my mouth. I hate it. Take it away, Father. But it hurts so bad because this was ours. Even the Cincinnati fans, we don't want Buffalo. Give us Kansas City. This was our Super Bowl. And if I just heard last year, what? And please, nobody. Did somebody say or next year? Please stop with the next year stuff. It's hurting me. I heard it for so long. I can't do it anymore. But this was our year. This was it. It was all lining up. And why does it hurt so much? Because something that was available to us that we should have had 13 seconds. And he's saying, you ought to fear that they didn't enter my rest, even though it was already finished. What's he saying? Your healing's already done. It's already waiting for you. Your financial breakthrough, the things with your family, the works that are needed to turn that, God said, I already have done it. I just need your faith for you to walk into it. Amen. And how depressing for people that live their whole life in sickness, and it was like healing was theirs. Yeah. God already did it. Prosperity was theirs. Amen?
Amen?
Let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes and let's make a choice right now. First thing you need to do is repent for any doubt and unbelief. You can't get into faith till you get that out of the way. Father, I thank you so much, yeah? I see that in my own life, Father. Got to pick that up, turn that up, make adjustments. Forgive me for that doubt and unbelief, Father. I'm being sincere right now. Forgive me for that doubt and unbelief and just not blindly agreeing with you. That's what faith does. It just agrees with you no matter what you see, feel, calendar, thinking. So, Father, I repent of that and I make a choice right now. Going forward, I make a choice to enter into faith. Why? I want to enter in the rest. I want to enter in the promise. You already did the work. You're waiting for a cooperating participant. And I sign up for that. I say, I'll be that person. I pray that everyone in here, Father, their eyes would be open, that light and revelation would come to them on this faith message, and they would realize and recognize that staying in the wallows is not where you are. It's not where the power, it's not where the help or the change can come. So help us to be skillful in getting what you've already provided for us. We worship you. Let's just glorify him. Now that you've repented, make a faith declaration. Whatever it is you say, that thing's changing in my life. If it's healing, say healing's mine. If it's prosperity, say money's mine. If it's a deliverance from a person, from an evil, wicked person, that deliverance is mine. I receive what that's what you say. I receive what I need. The change is mine. I believe you, Father. You're looking to find someone that you can show off in their life. Show off that power. I want to be your canvas. I want to be your canvas to show off that power. So I agree with you this morning. I'm changed after this message. I am changed forever. I love you and praise you. With heads bowed and eyes closed. And before I get to that, you take that to bed tonight. You take that when you wake up in the morning. You don't ever come off of that stance until what your thing is changes. You don't ever leave that place. You never let it go. You hold fast to that until it changes. That's what faith does. You grab that thing like a bulldog and you do not let anything rip that away from you. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, Father, what a force that faith is and the potential that it is. And Father, that force of faith, you've given each of us a measure of it. It is so powerful that it's able to transform us from darkness to light, from the kingdom of the devil to the kingdom of your dear Son. Faith can do that. And Father, you have given us faith so that we can receive your Son, Jesus, so we could live eternally with you in heaven and become a child of God and walk into all the blessings that you have for us here on this earth and for eternity to come. And so with heads bowed and eyes closed, everybody in here, ask yourself this question in your mind. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, the answer is absolutely. And the reason I know is because of what the Bible says, not what a minister told me, not what religion thinks, not what media thinks, what the Bible says. And the Bible says, if I believe on Jesus in my heart, and if I call on his name with my mouth, I'll be saved. Has nothing to do with good or bad church attendance to get you in or keep you out. Has nothing to do with good or bad works in your life to get you in or keep you out. Has nothing to do with generosity or lack thereof to get you in or keep you out. It only has to do with Jesus. Now, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I won't have you stand up or come forward or say anything on your own. But if you want to receive Jesus this morning, again, you're not becoming a member of this church. You don't have to go to church to go to heaven. Jesus said in John 3:16, if you'll believe on me, you won't perish. He didn't mention anything about church or good works, bad works, anything like that. So if you want to receive Jesus here this morning, again, we're not going to embarrass you. Would you just lift your hand high in the air if you want to receive him? We're just getting you part of the family of God. I see the hand, you can put it down. I see that hand, you can put it down. Anybody want to receive Jesus before we close the service? And remember this, once you do this, you're his. You never have to, you might have to repent again in life because if you mess up, but you never have to ask him into your heart. He'll never leave. Anybody else want to receive Jesus before we close the service? Just lift your hand high in the air. Anybody at all? Father, we had a few hands, so we're going to pray a prayer, all of us together, inviting Jesus into our life, because salvation is not automatic, just like healing isn't, just like prosperity isn't, deliverance isn't. There's a faith act that has to go with it. And if you're watching online right now, it's not about the raising of the hand, or if you're in the service, you say, I was just too shy to raise my hand. Raising your hand doesn't get you in either. It's the believing and receiving. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, for those people that raised their hand, anybody that wished they would have or just was too shy to, along with everybody else in the church, now it's time to seal the deal, which is what? Inviting him in. Go ahead and say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross. And I believe you rose again. And I ask you to come into my heart as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can look up here. Hallelujah. For those that prayed that, plant in a good Bible teaching church, you might say, well, you said church doesn't have anything to do with it. Going to heaven, it doesn't. But if you want to live victoriously, you need a pastor. And I'd love to be that to you, you know, but go where you feel God's calling you to be. Plant yourself there and be faithful and receive. Amen. Our lives are going to be different from today. What do? We branded you of that faith is not optional, how to get into faith and what to do. And so praise God for it. Let's stand to our feet. Let's begin to worship and rejoice. Come on, lift your voice. We praise you. We praise you and glorify you. We praise you and glorify you. We praise you and glorify you. Thank you, Master, for the force of faith. Thank you for the force of faith. We praise you. We bless you. We bless you. We honor you. We magnify you. We glorify you. We praise you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We bless you and honor you. Bless you and honor you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Ghost. We love you, Father. And we love faith. We love it. Changes are coming to all of us. Turnarounds, deliverances, abundance, increase, and health. Yeah. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget there's fellowship. Don't forget Wednesday night, 6:30. You're dismissed. Love y'all. Praise God.